So we've been sharing really the vision that God's given us, and that vision has come out of heaven, and it's come as an apostolic blueprint, and it's about how God has called us to be centered around him and to release the vision and the destiny that he's got out into the world around us. And we've shared about that with seven mountains and aligning ourselves with the four faces of God and aligning ourselves with heaven so that heaven could be manifested on earth. And that means ministry here to people, but also a wider ministry outside of that, demonstrating the kingdom outside. And last week we looked at this equipping track, that we want to equip people in an experiential way to encounter God, hear God's voice, see what he's doing, and then live a supernatural lifestyle. And we want to help people along the way. So there are two rails to that track, the revelation rail, where there is experiences with God which will help us move forward and mature in our relationship with him and outworking that. And then the transformational rail, where we'll be looking to help people and minister to people to help remove any of the blockages or things that hinder people becoming the people that God created them to be. So we are putting that in place this year, and we want everyone to participate in that so that we can move forward together. God is looking for reflections or shadows of heaven on earth. So he's looking for something that looks a bit like him and a bit like heaven, so he can come and manifest his glory amongst those people, through those people, around those people, so that heaven can be manifested on earth. And people, if you like, are a mountain of God's authority when Jesus is on the throne and we bring our spirit, soul, body in alignment with God, in unity within ourselves, so that we can actually manifest what God wants us to do. So God is gathering people, and he's looking for gatherings of people, and it's not just physical gatherings. Yes, there are churches that are in physical places, but actually it goes beyond that, who are patterned after that heavenly governmental kingdom blueprint so that he can manifest heaven through them. And we're just seeing, and everything we've seen up till now within the church mostly has been the presence of God. And the presence of God's wonderful, isn't it? But it tends to be fairly subjective. You know, some of you can say, oh wow, wasn't that a wonderful meeting? I met God. And someone can go away thinking, nothing much happened today for me. Because it's subjective, really, in terms of where we are with our personal relationship with God, how easy it is us to connect with God in worship or the word. But actually, God wants to come so that there's no doubt that he's there. And in some places, that would be like a manifest cloud of his presence. That would mean a manifestation of the angels in the midst, glory appearing. And in some places around the world, there are actual things appearing out of heaven and manifesting in the natural realm. And so we need to be aware that that's where we're heading. But there is a sound that God is releasing. It's like a vibration, frequency out of heaven. And it's calling people, calling his people back into an alignment with heaven. You know, we got out pretty much out of alignment through Adam and Eve. And even in the early church, for 200 years, it was okay. And then sort of things started to get out of alignment. And then it went downhill for 1,200 years. And now it's started over the last 800 years to sort of move back into alignment. And so there's been a progressive revelation of the things that God's doing that's calling his church back into alignment with him and heaven. And it's like the sound of many waters. And the Bible calls it deep calling out to deep. It's the sound of God's voice that comes out of heaven and calls us back home with him in intimacy and relationship, but also back home in a sense of connected with him and bringing that connection on earth. So it's the sound of drawing people to their heavenly home in a new heavenly alignment, a new heavenly authority. Because God wants us to manifest heaven on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we get to be part of the as it is to heaven. And that's the new part of this. God is calling us to be part of what's going on in heaven so that we can then bring that through our lives here on the earth. So last week we looked at church being the Greek word ecclesia or the Hebrew word kahal. And it's not the Anglo-Saxon word, which is what we think of as a building or going to church. You can't go to something that you are. It's about people. So really, church is an assembly which has come into existence through a call of God. And that can be a physical assembly, can be a spiritual assembly also. And also, you think of the church, actually is the assembly of all the people, living and dead, heaven and earth. And so we have a cloud of witnesses that are part of that great body who are cheering us on and part of what we're doing today. So the church is really being a community called together and gathered for a certain purpose or function that has a vision, and that's why it has prophetic and apostolic foundations. So, some questions. Why am I part of church? And I want you to think about this, because it's really, you know, whether you're here or around the world listening to this, it's like, why am I part of church? Is it so I can receive, be looked after, and fed spiritually? Now, you might think there's nothing wrong with those things. So I can worship and serve God, perhaps. So I can give, serve others, and participate in my destiny. Or query, what is it for you? You know, what does it mean to be part of church? Because it's not going to, it's being part of. You are church, because you are in relationship with other people within the body of Christ. Therefore, what does it mean? And I want you to consider that, because if your understanding or your thinking about it will determine what you do in it. And so old ways of thinking about it, well, I turn up on a Sunday, sit in the pew, do my duty, go home, that's it for the rest of the week, done my bit, God's happy, I'm happy. That's not really it. Or, well, I'm going to get my weekly fix on a Sunday, and that will give me a boost so I can manage and cope with the rest of the week. That really isn't it either. But those are some of the thoughts that have been. So God wants us to know why. He wants us part of church. So why am I not part of church? And there are people who aren't part of church, maybe because they don't fit in. Well, they've never fitted in. And they feel that they've been branded a rebel because they don't really fit in with other people and what normality of church has been. Because it never really felt right. It never really felt that was really what it was about. But because that's what there was, that's all we knew. And then when there's got to be more than this, that challenges the boundaries of what people think about church, and then people get branded as troublemakers and rebel, and they leave. And so they still believe in God, but they're not in real relationship and actually part of what God said through the church. He was going to make the manifold wisdom of himself known, both on heaven and earth. So it's God's idea to build church. He calls us to make disciples that actually are in relationship with one another. So have I been hurt previously in my relationship with church? Have I been let down, disappointed, damaged, abused in some way? That makes me feel I'm not really sure I want to be part of that again. And there are lots of people around the world that feel like that, which is sad, but in some way understandable, because we're all people and we all do make mistakes and we're not all perfect. So we have to find ways of actually living with each other in relationship, and so that those relationships don't form separate things because we fall out with one another, but those are relationships that can help us to overcome the things that we have in our lives and in each other. So it's real. You know, a church has to be real relationships. So why? Yeah, you know, if you're not part of church or you haven't been part of church, why, ask yourself the question. Then why am I part of this church particularly? And it may be, well, I like the worship, or I like the teaching, or I like the ministry, or I like the vision, maybe even like the people. That would be good, wouldn't it? But why? You know, why do you feel called to be here as opposed to somewhere else? Because God wants us to be where we should be. And so God is stirring things around the world, causing people to be realigned around vision and purpose and relationship rather than structure. So God is calling us to think about those things. So does attending a Sunday meeting make you part of church? Well, not really. No more than going to a garage makes you a car, really. It's like, it's because it isn't really about a meeting. It's about relationships. And it's actually being part of something that's actually connected with God and heaven and outworking that. So can you be part of church and not attend physical meetings? Well, yeah, I think so. Doesn't mean that you were not in relationship with one another, but physical meetings are where you turn up and some people are connecting. Some of the technology now makes us available to connect up with people all over the world. You know, I spend most of my week connecting with people, talking to people online, face to face, in relationship. You know, just because I'm not physically there doesn't mean that I'm not in relationship. Those guys who are doing live busting, like last night, you know, there was 200 odd people connected up around the world around a vision to help people become free. You know, that's about establishing relationship and connections in the kingdom, because it's kingdom relationships that God's looking for. So can you be part of church and not in discipleship relationships? I would say no, because it's about relationship and it's about discipleship. And that means helping each other to grow and become more like Jesus. So what does it really mean to be part of church? I believe God is calling today around the world to gather people, his people, together in relationship for a purpose. And that's to see the world transformed. To see the world brought back into its original condition, to answer the groan that creation has, not just people, but the whole of creation, it says in Romans 8, is groaning, waiting for God's true children to be revealed as his children, like him, doing the things that he does, manifesting the things that he manifests. And that call is going out, and people are starting to be drawn to the sound of that call, which is his voice calling to their spirit, saying, come to me, come together, start hearing what I'm saying and let that change you. Because God is calling for a new alignment of relationships in his kingdom, and he's drawing people to connect in new ways. And God is calling for a new kingdom government to be established in heaven and therefore on earth. So we can connect together in a spiritual sense in the realm of heaven, because we can go there. Go there in a sense of where the authority is, because it says in the Bible that we're all seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We've just never really thought about that as being something that is practical that we can actually do. It's more theoretical and something that we don't really understand. But in these days, God is opening up our understanding to see that we can go there and be part of what other people are also doing there so that we can change things here. And in fact, if you don't go there, it's very difficult to change things here. Now, for that all to work, we have to create a culture of honor. And that is where we respect and honor each other's different gifts, different calls, different redemptive gifts, the different things that we're called to do. And we don't just think, well, actually, those people don't think like me, therefore I struggle with them. Because actually, we're not supposed to all think like each other. We're supposed to think like how God has created us to think. Put all that together and you get a big jigsaw puzzle, which makes sense. Have one or two pieces, it doesn't make sense. And even if you have a wonderful outside of the jigsaw puzzle, but nothing in the middle, it doesn't make sense. So we need to honor and realize that we are called to have different gifts, abilities, things that we're called to do in the kingdom and destinies. That means we need to be open and honest with one another, to love one another, and to love the diversity. Not to fear it or be afraid of it, or to be in confrontation with it, because someone sees things differently. You know, I come from a very sort of prophetic teaching redemptive side, and some people come from a very mercy redemptive side, and sometimes it's like we seem to see things completely oppositely. But actually we don't. We just see things from different perspectives, and you need both perspectives to make the whole. And so God is calling us to honor each other, and therefore to be open and honest with each other, and to wear no masks, to be free to be ourselves as God created us to be, and not pretend or hide or have pretense and wear our Sunday best mask, everything's fine and okay. We want an environment where people can be free to say, actually, no, it's not okay, I've had a really rubbish week, and can you stand with me and pray with me? Rather than, yeah, everything's great, because we're afraid of being real, because we're afraid of what people might think. Well, actually, a culture of honor is a place where all the mess can come to the surface, and God's grace is abundant to deal with that mess. So we don't want you to hide the problems. We want you to reveal those problems to one another so that those things can be sorted out. Honor requires kingdom confrontation. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that you've got to be willing to ask the questions and not be put off by the answer that says, I'm fine, when you know the person really isn't fine. And be willing to go there with each other to help each other. You guys who are on the community know you have to confront one another. And when you see all the stuff that says, you know, is just blagging, you're not allowed to get away with blagging. You basically need to be honest. And so therefore, we have to ask questions of each other that give an opportunity to discover what the problems are. Rather than, well, it's too difficult. I might not be received, so I'm just going to keep quiet. When I know there's a problem. We know the Bible says if you've got a problem with someone, go to see them. And if you know they've got a problem with you, go to see them. But actually, add another one. If you know someone's got a problem full stop, well, go to see them and try and help them. Rather than, oh, well, it's not really my business. Actually, if we're in community with one another, it is your business. Because it actually says in the Bible that what affects one affects us all, positively and negatively. So we need to encourage each other. Those questions, which seem like confronting somebody and saying, well, actually, can you tell me what's going on, actually give an opportunity to identify what the real root of the problems are. Because quite often what we see on the surface in our lives is the fruit of something that's deeper. Hence, in lie busting, we're asking God to say, what do you want to deal with to help people be free of those things that are on the inside, whether they be lies or issues from the past, which are blockages to being a flow of God's life. So God really wants us to be part of a culture and a community that's real. And therefore, are you willing to ask the questions of yourself and others? Because that is what it's about. Being open is actually me sharing where I'm at. Being honest is me willing to actually share to other people what we feel we see. Now, of course, you have to take the log out of your own eye before you look at the speck in someone else's eye. But the reality is we still need to look at the specks and help each other. And actually, if there are blind self issues with us, you know, and those of you who do the Jaharis window know all about blind self, that you can't see it. So if someone isn't willing to love you enough to come up and say, look, I see this going on, can I help you? Then they're not loving you at all. So we've really got to be willing to get over ourselves a little bit and be honest and open and wear no masks. Now, if you're unsure if you want to follow us on this journey, ask yourself why. Why would I be unsure? Why would I be unsure if I want to be part of church and what God is doing in these days? What is the problem? Do I belong to this church? That's the question you need to ask. Is my destiny in this church? If we're talking about being here, then actually, can I fulfill what God has called me to do here? And if you can, that's great. If you don't feel you can, then you need to find somewhere you do feel you can, because actually we want to be where God wants us to be. You know, so we're not looking to recruit people. We're looking to help people find where they should be. Do I have a problem with trust? Because quite often, if I don't trust people, then I'm going to struggle being in relationship with them. And that problem may be because of something in the past. Do I have a problem trusting authority? You know, how many of us have actually been hurt by authority figures? Therefore, it creates in us a resistance to trusting, and therefore we can be isolated and not willing to be open and honest. Do I have unresolved hurts with previous church leaders? That can stop us fully embracing where we are. Do we have a problem with commitment? You know, do I have a problem with saying, yeah, I want to be part of something because of the past? Do I need to know where I am going before I commit to the journey? Now, that's a big one for a lot of people. Well, if you tell me exactly everything, then I can make up my mind up. Unfortunately, God doesn't work that way. He just calls us to be obedient and take a step often, like with Abraham. You know, it's like, leave everything behind and go somewhere. Where? Well, somewhere I'm going to show you when we're going. It's like, I guess that's what faith is about, and taking a chance. But actually, sometimes it's like we are protective of ourselves because of the damage in the past, so we're only willing to go what we know we can totally understand and we're all secure in. And that can be a problem with God. Do I need God to tell me everything about my journey before I'm willing to set off? And again, that isn't going to happen, because that isn't faith. But we need to know as much as we can, and that's why we're sharing this vision. Do I trust the apostolic and prophetic leaders to hear God for the church? Now, leaders are not supposed to hear God for you. You're responsible for that. That's why we want to help everyone to hear God for themselves. So what God wants you to do on a day-to-day basis, you need to hear God, just like Jesus saw what the Father was doing, heard what the Father was doing, and then did it. We're all responsible for that, and we want, obviously, to help as much as we can to help each other hear God and follow that. But actually, for the church, in terms of the vision and the blueprint, well, then actually, that's part of what leadership did. They bring that blueprint so that people can get involved. Do I have personal issues with any of the leadership here? If you do, please come and sort them out, because I don't want anyone having a problem with me. You know, you might not like what I look like or what I wear or anything like that. That's your problem, not mine. But if you've got actually a problem with anything I've done or said or the way I say it, please come and talk to me, because I'm not perfect, as my wife will tell you over there. Because we're none of us perfect, but we're on a journey together. Now, actually, you might be the person who sees something that helps me change, if you're willing to tell me. And so I'm really open for that, and I think we all need to be. You know, one of the questions to ask is, am I struggling to let go of the old things, the old mindsets and the old methodologies, those comfortable, safe things that we all know about, but actually God wants us to let go of? Because that might be a problem. If you're to embrace new things, we have to be willing to let go of the old. Do I have a maintenance rather than a pioneer mindset? You know, and as a church, we're called to be pioneers. Therefore, here, we're focused on helping people move forward rather than helping people stay where they are. We want to help people change and be transformed into the image of God. So that's our focus. So it's not really a very comfortable place, because actually we're always wanting to be more like God, so that we're always encouraging each other to change. Do I struggle with the supernatural elements of the church? Because we're committed here to experiencing the presence and power and the glory of God. Therefore, that is supernatural. Jesus came and did supernatural things. It wasn't all committees and flower committees and this and that and the other. It was about laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, casting out demons, raising the dead, walking on water, doing amazing things. That's what it's about. So that's what we focus on. But I encourage you, think about it. Do I have a problem with the angelic interaction that we have? Because we do focus on spiritual things. And we do engage with angels. Now, a lot of people struggle with that around the world. You know, and it's a subject, ooh, don't talk about angels. Well, actually, we talk a lot about them because they're here and they're ministering spirits assigned to us to help us in our journey and what we do. And we encourage people to find their personal angels and to engage with them and to have a relationship with them, because that's what God calls us to do. Do you have a problem about accessing heaven? Because God is calling us to help everyone to go into heaven and to experience God there and to bring that here. So that's part of what we're called to do. So we want to see if people are on board with that, really. Do I have a problem with any past memories of church? Because that will hinder us going forward, and we really want to help deal with those things. You know, do I have a problem with any of the previous decisions we've made here on the journey? We've made a lot of things, journey decisions, taking us from all sorts of places. It hasn't been a straight path to God to get us where we are. And some of those things you look back and think, what was all that about? But most of the things I can see there was a purpose in something that God called us to do, because he taught us things. Some of it, he taught us what not to do, as much as what to do. Not to depend on structures and things that we can put in place, but actually to be trusting about him and getting first-hand revelation from God. And some of that has been where we are. But if you've got a problem about things in the past, then come and talk to us about it. You know, do you have a problem with trust? Do you have a problem because of past experiences being judgmental, cynical, critical, skeptical, and suspicious? Because all those things come out of hurt, which are unresolved. You know, and there are a lot of people around the world that struggle with those things because they've been hurt and damaged. God wants us to bring healing and wholeness. So ask yourself, well, why do I struggle with any of those things? If you do, if you don't, you might think, great, I'm really happy. That's great. But some people do struggle. If you have any problems, are you willing to resolve them? Because if you stay with your problems, then you stay the same, rather than identifying what it is to move forward. Now, we're asking these questions to create this culture of honor, where everyone is willing to identify with any problems and then deal with them. We don't expect everyone to understand everything, because people are at different stages of their journey. You know, people become Christians, they don't understand everything. It says they're babies to start with. It's okay to be a baby. It's not okay to be a baby for 20 years, is it? We have to be willing to grow. Now, we have this equipping track, and to be on the equipping track, if you like, you've got to be in the train. Now, you might be in the very last carriage of the train, but you're still on the board of the train. Some people are riding the front carriages of the train, but actually all the carriages have open doors, so you can start at the back and end up right at the front. And actually we want people to go even further ahead and prepare the next part of the journey. So we want to find where people are and encourage them. It's okay to be where you are, but we want to encourage you to grow and mature. And it's great to look around and see people maturing and see people taking responsibility in ministry and different things. But we're going to equip that more and more. So if you want to participate in this adventure, and we believe it is an adventure because we're on this journey to things where we don't really know exactly where it is, openness and honesty is expected. We're expecting you're up for change and transformation, both individually and corporately, because we're not going to stay the same. Individually, we can't stay the same. Corporately, we can't stay the same, because God is continually taking us on a journey of change. So if you don't like change, it's probably isn't a very comfortable place to be. Because change, you know, someone said, constant change is here to stay. Think about that. Because actually, it's the truth. Because if we're not changing, then we're staying the same. And if we're staying the same, we're not becoming more like Jesus. So we expect that everyone will treat each other with respect and with honor. Amos 3:3 says, do two walk together except they've agreed. So we need to agree, you know, and come into agreement with each other. So do you agree with where we're going? Do you agree with how we're going to get there? Do you agree to participate on the journey? Because it's a journey of participation, not a journey of observation. We need to be part of it, not looking at it. So you are effectively helping the journey by being part of it. So before you agree to anything, you need to understand what's expected at least. And I would say that's fair. So what are the expectations of those who want to belong to us here at Freedom Church? What is expected from those who say that they're committed? Well, these are a few things. One, that I will protect the unity of my church. So if you're part of something, that you'll protect the unity of that, because unity brings blessing. By acting in love towards each other, by refusing to gossip, by being of one heart, and being part of a culture of honor. I will share the responsibility of my church, because we have responsibility in God's kingdom to outwork what we're called to do, by participating in its growth, both qualitative and qualitative, because we want more people to help more people, but also we want the people here to grow and become more mature. So by maturing in my relationship with God, by being salt and light in my community, God calls us not just to participate in meetings, but to be living the good news. So am I willing to demonstrate that wherever I am? By relating to one another in love. I will serve the ministry of my church, the things that God's called us to do, by discovering and outworking my identity, redemptive gift, and spiritual gifts and destiny. So we want you to participate by being you, by being equipped to serve the call of God on that equipping track. So if you don't want to be growing and maturing and coming into a deeper relationship with God and having all those lovely encounters and exciting things, then it's going to be difficult to feel part of what we're doing here. Third thing, by developing a servant's heart and being part of that culture of honor again, having a heart to serve and to love each other. I will support the testimony of my church. A church has a testimony in that that's what people say about us when they see us. And for that, we have to do the things that God's calling us to do. So that means by participating faithfully in developing my call and purpose. All this stuff is about participation, about you being you, about you being living stones, about you being willing to be you in the context of relationship with others, by living a supernatural godly life. God calling us for that by giving. Now, God wants us to give regularly, time, money, heart, to give, to support what we do. and God is calling us to actually do that. I will support the vision and destiny of my church by being part of the apostolic blueprint that we've shared, by being part of or equipped by the Joshua generation, which God is raising up, by ruling as the Lord, King, Son in the heavenly realms. Because God has taken us into that realm, and we have to teach people to do that. By manifesting heaven on earth as a son of light. Now, all those things are about us being us. Now, three words that I just want to sort of finish with. To know, to grow, and to flow. I'm a poet, and I didn't know it. To know is about relationship. That means to know God. That's what it's about, knowing God. To know yourself, your identity. To know your destiny, and to know others. So it's about relationship, knowing. It's also about growing, and that's about discipleship. To grow in experiential knowledge of God, not just intellectual knowledge, but to actually experience Him. To grow in holiness and righteousness. In one sense, you're already holy and righteous in Christ, but actually it needs to be worked out, doesn't it? So we need to grow in our expression of that. To grow in maturity. That means to be transformed to be more like Jesus. To grow in responsibility of the governmental kingdom authority that God's given us. To start exercising kingdom authority in our lives and around our lives. To change and transform things around us. To grow in our sonship in the image of God. And the last one is to flow, and that's about distribution. See, everything that stagnates dies. So we have to let things flow out from us. So, to receive from God and each other and give it away to others. So everything flows through us. Bible says rivers of living water should flow through us. That means we need to be connected to the source of living water so it can flow through us, which is the life of God. To flow is to be a channel of God's grace, mercy, love, and power to the world around us. And God wants a flow. He doesn't want a trickle. You know, it starts off like a trickle, but it needs to end up like a mighty rushing river so that God's power can be manifested through us and around us. To flow is to be like an ambassador of heaven and to let heaven come here. So to flow is to be a gateway of heaven on earth. So prophetically, we've called to be an army who acts like a family. We're called to be an apostolic prophetic community. Do you feel called to be part of that army, of that community? Do you feel called to participate in this quest, this journey, this adventure we're all on? That's why we're basically asking the questions. So if you do want to be on this journey with us, are you willing to let go of the old and embrace the new? Are you willing to participate fully in the equipping track? Are you willing to be and make disciples? Are you willing to find and fulfill your destiny? And they're all questions that I'd encourage you to ask of yourself. You can hold us accountable for what we've shared. So we've shared this vision, this blueprint. So you can have a realistic expectation from what we've shared, and you can hold us accountable to that. So if you come and say, well, actually, you said you're doing this and you haven't done it, you can come and say, well, why aren't you doing it? Because you said you would. Now I can turn back and say, well, why aren't you doing it? Because we're all part of it together. Because we're all part and participating in this. It's not about the organization of us and them. It's about all of us being responsible for growth and relationship and love and fellowship and all the things. We're all responsible. So you can have an expectation that you will allow to be the building blocks and the living stones that shape this church. Because it's you who shapes it. And when you do things, it means we do them. So be open for that. That we will help each other live in God's intimate manifest presence. Because that's our vision. That we will help each other to be free to be the you, the us's that God desires. That we will help each other find and fulfill our destinies. That we will enable each other to be a resource for the wider kingdom. That's why it's so thrilling, like last night when they did the first Livebuster worldwide thing, to have people who are testifying from here and that we've been part of the Alpha group that's practiced that. And that's awesome. But there are so many other opportunities out there to engage with what God is doing around the world, and that's our vision, to be outward looking and to enable people to connect up with the things that God's doing around the world. Okay, if you say you want to be part of this, then our expectation is that you're willing to give away what you receive, that you're willing to grow, that you're willing to be and make disciples. That's basically it. So Joshua 24-15 says, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a choice. Everyone has to make a choice. Jesus offered choices all the time. And he basically said, if you want to make this choice, be prepared for that choice. Now, this is a free choice. We're making no assumptions when we're asking this question, because even if you've been here 20 years, we want to know that you still want to be here. Not just because it's been comfortable and that's where you've always been, but actually because you want to be here, because you want to participate in what God's doing. So we want you to be in the right place to fulfill your destiny. So we all need to know who's with us, who's part of us. We need to know who we can count on. We need to know that you can count on each other. You need to know that. So if you have any doubts, concerns, or fears, please come and talk to us directly about it. Anything we've shared, if you've got anything with it, please feel free to come and say, I don't understand, or I'm not sure about this, because I love answering questions. I spend all my week answering questions. So it's like, feel free to ask questions. And next week, we're going to have an open opportunity to ask questions. So I'm going to sit with you, and you're going to ask me whatever you like. Because if you don't know, please ask. Anything we've shared about the blueprint, the direction, the structure, the vision, the mission that we're on, anything relating to the last 9 weeks, anything you don't understand or not clear about, there are no stupid questions. If you don't know something, then it's good to ask. And don't worry whether anyone else knows the answer. If you don't know it, ask. So if you would like to ask any questions and you feel a bit uncomfortable asking them out loud, then email me in the week and I can answer the question anonymously. So that gives everyone an opportunity to ask whatever. So if you've got no questions next week, we're going to have a really short first part of the meeting. Okay? So, but if you have questions, please ask them. You know, I do spend a lot of my week asking people's questions. If you look at the supernatural mentoring sessions I do online, it's all about asking questions. And I sit there and people ask me things all the time. So I'm used to answering questions. If I've got the answer, I'll try and give it to you. If I don't have the answer, I'll tell you. Because if you find a question that I haven't got an answer to, then I'll go away and sort ask God. You know, so please feel free to ask those questions. And so that we're all clear and there are no misunderstandings and there's no uncertainty or unsure, let's ask the questions and let's be real and honest with one another, because God is calling us to go forward together with a great mission and with a great call and a great adventure, and the future is not going to be like the past. That's why God wants to equip us to be ready for what's coming, to be ready to see his kingdom manifested on earth as it is in heaven. Amen?